Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcome back to Sports 180. Heather Harrington along with Joel Silverberg today. Josh Ward is going to make his return tomorrow. We're going to be at Ted Russell Ford on Parkside Drive. So looking forward to being out and about this week. And thanks again to Joel for sitting in with me. Logan Ward also pushing all the right buttons for us. 656-9900. We've got a couple of people that wanted to get on before the end of hour number two. We had to delay that. So we'll go straight to the phones where Jim is waiting. And Jim doesn't think Tennessee is getting enough credit. Jim, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple things, really. You know, I go back to the first of the season, and I heard all you prognosticators, you know, talk about Tennessee 5-7, some 4-8, be lucky to go 6-6, and never 7-5. But, you know, Heupel's got us on the verge of maybe going that, and if you look back at the season, lost to Pittsburgh, might have won if we had Hooker, last play of the game to Mississippi, and took Alabama into the fourth quarter. And I think from where this team has come from with his depleted roster and everything he's done, I mean, it seems like all they've focused on in the last 2 weeks is lose to Alabama by 28 and lost to Mississippi. So, you know, I think, you know, this team is has performed pretty well, and I think it's looking bright for the future if we can recruit and maybe get some transfer people in, because he started with a very, very bad roster, and I don't think he's getting enough credit. So I'll hang out and listen to what you all say.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Jim. I think you're maybe thinking of some other shows. I mean, we did the game day on Rocky Top win total machine, and I actually came out at 7-5 and just rode with that. I picked Tennessee to beat Pittsburgh. So after that loss, it made me a little more nervous. But with Tennessee very much on the path to still being 7-5, I mean, I still feel pretty confident that they can get there. But 6-6 is like the minimum. I don't remember anybody being like 5-7, 4-8.
Well, the over under was 6 wins. You couldn't bet on Tennessee to take over 5.5 because the national consensus was mm-hmm. that Tennessee was probably going to be a 6-win team. And the schedule was part of the reason for that, but also Josh Heupel's offense, things improving. And I had Tennessee at 6-6. I thought 5-7 was more likely than 7-5 just because of the lack of depth. I didn't see Tennessee's defense performing at the level it did this year. I also thought that Missouri was going to be better. So I thought, would Tennessee drop one of these other swing games that it's already won? Would injuries cost Tennessee a game at some point in the season? But now we're kind of through the halfway point of the year. That Kentucky game is really the only one that has a question mark next to it, and Tennessee doesn't appear to be in such a bad injury situation that injuries alone will hurt them against Kentucky fully. I think it's still a winnable game for Tennessee. So, yeah, I think around 6 or 7 wins is what a lot of people had Tennessee at before the season started, and now it looks more like a definite thing now that we're here 7 games in.
Also, Pete Thamel on Saturday, I saw him tweet out, I mean, as Tennessee was in the thick of it with Alabama, and I think everybody, I mean, I said it's still mind-blowing that Alabama was able to cover the number. That still just blows my mind, because Tennessee, that was such an exciting game. Tennessee was 100% in it. They made a couple of mistakes here and there. Obviously, too many penalties. You can't keep shooting yourself in the foot, especially against a great team, and come out on top. But that's more, you know, what happened in the fourth quarter is more just Alabama doing Alabama things. But Pete Thamel tweeted out, who covers all of college football for Yahoo. He said, Josh Heupel has instilled a spirit in this Tennessee team. They have a ways to go as a program, but there's an identity and hope, and that's cool to see. So I think even on the national level, a week after getting roasted by a lot of national media for the scene that happened in Neyland Stadium, people are also noticing that Josh Heupel's doing some good things in year number one versus a really good team in Alabama.
And I think a lot of SEC media analysts have given Heupel his credit. They seem to be talking up Tennessee a lot. You've seen it from the national media. Now, part of it's tempered, because at the end of the day, Tennessee is still 4-4. If Tennessee was 6-2, the conversation would be totally different. I think it'd be much more at the forefront. There'd probably be some SEC Coach of the Year chatter going on. But for what Heupel has done, I think he is getting his due. I think he is being acknowledged as doing a great job after all the losses that Tennessee suffered over the offseason, players going to other schools. I think Heupel has been appropriately rated throughout his first year. And then the expectation's going to push. Okay, you got to do a little bit more in year two. But I think so far he's met the expectations that have been laid in front of him.
I think you're right. I think, and it goes back to the question that we asked in hour number one, like, what's the best thing this Tennessee football team has done? I mean, they've beaten the teams that they should beat, and they've done it by a wide margin. You would like to see them have a marquee win. I think Kentucky is still that carrot that's dangling out there. You didn't get it done versus Pittsburgh. You didn't get it done versus Ole Miss. Maybe you can get it done versus Kentucky. So that carrot is still dangling, and we'll see what happens there. But David Ubben brought up, you know, defensive production. You just touched on it there. The defense is better than what anybody could have anticipated to this point, I think, in the season. And you're figuring things out at quarterback, which gives a lot of people hope for what not only the last month of the season could look like, but next season as well.
You mentioned the penalties, how that's something that has to improve. And talking about, well, I don't know if injuries could necessarily hurt Tennessee right now against Kentucky. Penalties will, and it's already cost Tennessee the Pitt game, I think. So
look at the Florida game too. That cost Florida versus Kentucky.
Yeah, if Kentucky's a very disciplined team, they're so good in the trenches, as you heard David Ubben talk about in the last hour. If Tennessee commits 9, 10, 12 penalties against Kentucky, it's going to put itself in a situation to lose the football game. That's something that has to get cleaned up in a hurry.
656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. WL is on the line, wants to talk a little quarterback action. Good afternoon, WL.
Heather, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, welcome.
But I have listened to you guys for as long as I can remember. And I just have one question. Beckwith, he's not playing at all. Is there a reason why he couldn't be a defensive end to rush the quarterback?
I think he has a better body style for that position than the square peg in the round hole that they were trying to play him at running back. I never understood D. Beckwith at that running back spot, but you're right. He has not been utilized to this point, and we'll see what they're able to do with him. I would imagine, though, Joel, he would stay on the offensive side of the ball, right? I mean, if he can, I don't know what his skill set is, but he also has the body for a tight end.
Yeah.
If he can learn that position.
The report.
And another question I had was, why, if Joe Milton can't be a quarterback, why can't he be on the other side of the defensive end? They're big, and they need somebody to get to that quarterback. If Tennessee against Alabama and others, teams that we played, had put the pressure on the quarterback. Now, this is my just thought, is that you need to get the best players on the field, and just because they're labeled a quarterback or a running back or whatever, utilize them.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call, WL. I will say this, and we appreciate you listening all these years. You need Joe Milton as your backup quarterback, so you're not going to mess with him, as he is still a viable option.
Playing on defense. Joe Milton's not going to the defensive side of the ball. As far as D. Beckwith, earlier this month, Jerry Mack, the running backs coach, said, look, for him right now, it's experience with D. Beckwith. He's still learning the running back position. They're still trying to get him some more experience, some more reps. He's just kind of buried on the depth chart right now. But that's what they're trying to figure out with him at, and right now they've been rolling with Tyon Evans, Jabari Small. You've seen a little bit of Jalen Wright, but
a little Lyneth Whitehead.
Yeah. But so right now at this point in time, it's just about, we're going to be working with D. Beckwith at the running back spot.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm very skeptical that he can play in the SEC at that position.
And he might have to move around a little bit, but right now it's experience. And yeah, that's the reason given as to why you have not seen him yet.
656-9900, *990 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. What's the best thing that Tennessee has done this football season, in your opinion? We'll take your phone calls. Don't forget Jay Busby coming up at 2:30, and John Wilkerson set to join the show for the Power Poll as we are rocking and rolling this Tuesday afternoon on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal. One thing going on today, we talked about it in hour number one, Tennessee basketball's media day. So media day a little bit different this year, but Tennessee men's basketball is it was happening this afternoon. So I'm sure you're going to hear more interviews coming up on Sports Talk. One thing that we noted last week when Josh was in and the media polls had come out, no representation from Tennessee on the first or second team preseason polls by the media. Well, the coaches poll is out and John Fulkerson included as a first team selection. I will say that there are more players on the coaches poll than on the media poll. I think there were six spots for each team on the media poll. And this poll consists of eight players on first and second teams.
Yeah. Now John Fulkerson being named to that first team on the coaches list. So even if you shrink the teams, he's likely getting a nod somewhere, even if you only put in maybe five or six guys on each side. But yeah, good to see John Fulkerson getting some recognition. Really important for Tennessee last season. I just hated to not be able to have him during the tournament run in that first round loss to Oregon State, but made a big splash by announcing that he was coming back. But yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of talent in the SEC now, I think, compared to what there was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So it's tough. It's a big deal to be able to get on these preseason teams for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's not the end all be all. Because, you know, you'd rather be on a postseason team than a preseason team. I'm still surprised, especially with the coaches poll, that Kennedy Chandler is not getting a nod. So that is definitely a head scratcher to me. But hopefully he will be turning some heads this season leading this Tennessee basketball team.
Yeah, I think part of it is, and again, this is how I feel about the media poll last week, like Keon Brooks Jr. and some of these guys from Kentucky that are getting that nod. I think Kentucky alone kind of carries that weight. Like Sevier Wheeler's a good player. He's a really talented player for Georgia, but it's like now that he's playing for Kentucky, the expectation just goes through the roof.
Now he was an all SEC caliber player, right? At Georgia.
He was.
And
he
so
was
they put him back on the list now that he's transferred.
Yeah, yeah, he was a good player. I also wonder though, can he handle the expectation, the added weight of having to be the guy in Kentucky? Because it's one thing when you're in Georgia, of course you're going to put up big numbers. You're the only guy that can play. So you've got to, Georgia was a disappointment when they had Anthony Edwards. Like Sevier Wheeler being an all SEC caliber player, he kind of had to be. There's nobody else there. But you see newcomers coming in. That's the other thing too about the preseason basketball list is that they're willing to vote true freshmen onto the list. So yeah, Kennedy Chandler, maybe he could have made a spot in there. I also think the guards in the SEC are really deep, and that's part of it. So if it's another year, maybe you see Kennedy Chandler on there.
You also, you talked about the pressure cooker of Kentucky. Does that get turned up a couple of notches too with them coming off just the absolute worst season that John Calipari has had in Lexington? Only 9 wins last year for the Wildcats. I know that they should be super optimistic, that I'm not throwing shade at Big Blue Nation. I'm just asking you, do you think there's more pressure on these guys based on what Cal and the team did last year?
I think so, because you still had this top-notch recruiting class a year ago, and it didn't turn into anything. And Calipari kept talking about the mental strength of his team. He felt like that these guys couldn't handle adversity. And when they started out of the gate slow last season, they just never got things picked back up. And it didn't seem like it was going to be heading in that direction, because they had that huge blockbuster game against Kansas early in the year that they only lost by 3. But then things never got better from there. So I would expect things to be turned up a little bit. I think the job security of John Calipari is just fine because of how long he's been there. And I think as long as he continues to keep doing what he's doing and recruiting at a high level, he'll be there as long as he wants to be. But I do think that there's more pressure on this team, especially the returners, guys like Keon Brooks that, you know, were banged up for portions of last year, Oscar Tshiebwe and Sevier Wheeler, who are transferring from other Power 5 programs. I think those guys feel like they have something to prove. So you've got
like Ty Washington just coming in, like that's somebody
to do everything.
Expected to be big time.
It's different now. Which is a familiar situation for John Calipari, but now you have all these guys that aren't used to having to play basketball the Kentucky way. So there is that pressure of having to get them to mesh together and have success very quickly.
It'll be interesting to see. And I know I said back in hour number one, like, basketball is for sure behind football. I wasn't sure 2 months ago that I would still be engaged in the football season at this point, just because we didn't know what was going to happen. I was optimistic, but you know, you're sitting there, you're like, this is a thin team, like what's going to happen? But I'm still 100% engaged in the football season, still a lot to play for, and it's fun sprinkling in this basketball talk. It's just, man, I'm excited for the season to get here.
I think it is genuinely a good time to be a Tennessee fan because there is optimism around the football program. Basketball has been solid. Last season did not go as well as you hope, but what does that say about the job that Rick Barnes has done when a 5 seed and a first round exit in the NCAA tournament is a down year for Tennessee basketball, and the baseball team's coming off a trip to the College World Series. So pretty good time all seasons throughout the course of the academic calendar to be very excited for Tennessee sports.
Did you also catch Tony Vitello was at the quarterback club yesterday at Calhoun's? He was one of the featured speakers. He said, Rick Barnes is probably the best human I've ever met. He makes me uncomfortable to be around him because he's such a good guy. And then basically referring to Jeremy Pruitt's lawsuit allegations, said, if you're coming after Rick Barnes, that's a you problem. Yeah. Like, there's something wrong with you. Like, I just thought that was really cool.
Now it's kind of building up this camaraderie because of the way that Rick Barnes defended Tennessee. Now you just see, all these coaches are supporting each other. And I think you see that at schools that are able to do well in all three of those major seasons. And so it's going to continue to be fun. You're going to see, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. You see Josh Heupel throwing out a first pitch at some point. You're going to see Tony Vitello at a basketball game addressing everybody at Thompson Bowling Arena when we're back to full capacity again.
Did that at football, too.
Yeah.
They recognized last year's World Series team on the inline a couple of games ago.
Yeah, at the Ole Miss game. It was fun to see it. And then Tony Vitello was kind of the last one to walk out too. And he's got a hat on, so you can't really tell that it's him, but he's kind of at the end. You got a couple of guys that are just showboating around. They're just having fun at this point. So all three of those programs, and even throughout the other teams as well, women's basketball, a lot about the softball team, you're going to see all these teams supporting each other because now you're starting to get momentum for really all of your programs across the board.
Well, yeah, and you got two women's sports, and I know we got to go to break. Volleyball ranked 20th in the country right now with a top 5 RPI, just unreal. Also, women's soccer over at Tennessee is ranked in the top 10. So just doing good things all the way around. We'll take a quick break. We'll catch up with Yahoo Sports' Jay Busby. What did he think of the Manning cast being back on? And how does he see this professional football season shaking out? Are we buying some stock in the Titans? We'll go over all that coming up next on the Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Game one of the World Series is tonight from Houston between the Braves and the Astros. The Astros are throwing Framber Valdez, and the Braves are countering with Charlie Morton. In the NBA tonight, the Lakers will be at the Spurs at 8:30. The Knicks host the 76ers at 7:30. The Warriors are traveling to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder at 8 o'clock. The Rockets will be taking on the Dallas Mavericks at 8:30, and the Nuggets will be in Utah to take on the Jazz at 10 o'clock. Lady Vol basketball news from the day. Ray Burrell has been named to the preseason All-SEC first team, and Tamaria Key has been named to the preseason All-SEC second team. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
TK Wheeler Jewelers is the place to shop whenever you need beautiful jewelry. I say this time and time again, and I've met some awesome people that have shown off their TK Wheeler Jeweler pieces to me through the years because they've heard me. Got to talk Titan stock, and man, is it going to be a year where the Seahawks and the Chiefs are out of the playoffs? So much ground to cover with the one and only reporter from Yahoo Sports. I also want to put another plug in. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to Eve Rackham-Watt, the Tennessee volleyball coach, coming up at 1:45. So looking forward to that. And they have a huge match versus the number 5 team in the country. Tennessee volleyball is going to take on number 5 Kentucky tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena. Kind of a weird start time. It's 6 o'clock. So if you can make it, I think tickets are like $5, and you're going to get to see some amazing volleyball. Tennessee volleyball also ranked in the top 25 this season. So a lot of good things to pay attention to over on the Hill. Now to the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline we go. The one and only Jay Busby joins us. Jay, where should we start? What's the World Series temperature like going on in Atlanta, despite the team being down in Houston right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's first time in 22 years. There's an entire generation of Atlanta sports fans that has no meaningful memory of the Atlanta being in the World Series. And so, yeah, people are stoked. I mean, in a way that they probably have not been in 30 years since 1991.
What do you think about the series as a whole right now? I mean, obviously Houston has a lot of World Series experience. Atlanta had a losing record at the All-Star break. So what do you think is the confidence level of the Atlanta sports fandom around the city as we get ready for tonight?
I mean, the key to this is not to look at it in the entirety. Obviously, the Braves have the worst record of any team coming into the playoffs. Certainly the worst of the championship series. And so it looked like they were by far the inferior team, but that's kind of deceptive because that's all post, or that takes in their terrible pre-trading deadline, pre-All-Star game performance. Since then, they've been one of the hottest teams in the majors, right there with the Dodgers and the Giants. And, you know, both of those teams are watching from the same viewpoint that we are now. So the Braves are every bit the legitimate threat that the Astros are. The question, of course, is who's going to be hot at the right time. I mean, it's a seven-game series. As Atlanta knows all too well, a whole lot can happen in that really short period of time. And Braves fans, I mean, you know, they have to be as confident as they've been in a long time. This is a team that seems to manage to find ways to come back, seems to manage to find ways to have pitchers pitch out of jams and have hitters find ways to get hits with two outs. So there's a lot for Atlanta fans to be confident about right now.
I was going to ask you what the confidence level is, because I've gotten from my coworkers a lot of Lou Holtzing on the situation there. They are not feeling great about Atlanta's chances. They did go into the World Series with the fewest wins in the playoff field, but hey, it's good timing. I think Atlanta fans should really be optimistic.
I mean, you know, and honestly, it does not matter how many wins you have in the regular season. It matters how many wins you have in October. And right now, the Braves are right there with the Astros. They've got the same amount. They're both playing very, very well. There's reason for confidence. Obviously, you know, there's reason for pessimism, and that largely stems from history. And if you believe in an Atlanta sports curse or anything like that, then it's going to loom over you. If you carry the sins of Tom Glavine and John Smoltz and Greg Maddux and Chipper Jones on forward into Freddie Freeman and Ozzie Albies and so forth, you're going to have a lot of problems getting over the possibility that the Braves can win, but it's all right there.
Hey, let me ask you this too, Jay, switching gears, what should we all be doing in the NFL with our Titans stock as well as our Seahawks and Chiefs stock?
Seahawks stock, I hope you dumped that several weeks ago, because that's worthless at this point. But the Chiefs, I mean, I think that's still a value stock, if you will. It's probably overvalued at this point. But Titans, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, hold that one and ride that one out a while longer, because the Titans are coming into form. There was a lot of concern about them early on, not unjustified concern, but they seem to figure things out. So, yeah, the Titans are going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next few weeks to see if they're able to capitalize on what they've done over the last few weeks.
And 7 weeks in, pretty routine, top of the AFC and NFC, the Bengals and the Cardinals, just like we all thought.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, if you didn't predict Cincinnati and Arizona, you know, you're just out of your mind, because everybody knew coming in that those two were the best teams. Yeah, it's amazing seeing how these two teams have come together, and in kind of a similar way. You know, the teams had the front offices had patience with the coaches. They had a quarterback that they knew was good but young and rusty, and they surrounded them with veterans and playmakers, and it's really paid off for both teams. You know, obviously, long, long way to go, not even at the halfway point. But both of those teams have to be pleased with how the development is going so far.
And all kidding aside, the Bengals and the Raiders right now, the top two spots in the AFC, is there long-term sustainability there for both of those teams to make a playoff push, or are we just seeing a good start for maybe one or both of these teams? What do you think about Cincinnati and Las Vegas right now?
I mean, I'm a little bit higher on Cincinnati at the moment than Vegas, but you know, I think that both of them, you know, it's like, you know, how 80% of life is just showing up. If you win the games that you're supposed to win in the NFL, that's going to take you 80% of the way to the playoffs. If you don't give away the games to, you know, the Jets and the Bears and things like that, which these teams have done, some of them have done, you know, the quality teams have had some just absolute head scratching losses. But if you're able to win the games that you are supposed to win, then you're going to be in good shape. And at the moment, these two teams have largely done that.
Hey, Jay, let me ask you this, too. Can we just stop comparing? I mean, Pat Mahomes has dealt with this. Joe Burrow now. Can we just stop comparing people to Tom Brady? Like, if you get 7 years in and you've got multiple Super Bowl titles, like, then let's talk about it. But why do we have to put these labels on these young quarterbacks? Why can't they just be Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow, who are fun to watch and win a lot of games?
Well, I mean, the issue with Tom Brady is the dude just screws up everything. You know, we do a regular morning newsletter. We try to look for historical precedents for certain stories. And every single time we are writing up big sweeping articles about the recent history of the NFL, it's always the Tom Brady except. You know, everybody goes through ups and downs except for Tom Brady. Every quarterback struggles except for Tom Brady. Every team that has an opportunity to make the playoffs struggles the season after except for Tom Brady. So it's like, if you carve out Brady, there cannot be a serious sports fan alive who does not think he's the greatest NFL player ever. I mean, I don't even want to hear. And actually, I do want to hear an argument that Tom Brady's not the greatest NFL player ever, but it would be ridiculous. But beyond that, yeah, we want to see greatness. We want to be around greatness. We want to have greatness in our time. And so that's why we always are anointing these next players as the next Tom Brady, because we want to have that share of it for ourselves. But, I mean, there's no guarantee that Tom Brady's leaving anytime soon.
Well, speaking of greatness, just how, from a historical standpoint, how impressive is it what Kyle Larson is doing right now in the Cup Series with just two weekends to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as impressive as Tom Brady. But if they put Tom Brady in a car, I imagine he'd win a couple of Cup championships himself. But, Larson is just out of his mind. I mean, he's just so good. He's racing so well. This is the promise that everybody saw in him a few years back. You know, Tony Stewart took this guy under his wing a few years ago, and everybody saw that there was something special about this guy. And obviously, he got himself, his mouth got himself in trouble being an idiot. But he is, his talent is undeniable. So, and it's on full display now. Now that he's got the best equipment and the best team around him, then he's in really good shape. And so it's going to be tough for anybody to catch up to him in these last two races.
He's Jay Busby for Yahoo Sports. I always encourage everybody to listen to the Yahoo Football Inquirer, College Football Inquirer podcast. That's great. Jay, they need to get you on. I think you would just be a natural the next time Dan Wetzel goes AWOL. But also today, I agree with your buddy Jay Hart, who wrote the morning newsletter for Yahoo. Is it time for forgiveness for the Astros? I say yes, being from Houston. So I just think he was spot on with that.
Wait a second, you're from Houston, you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys? What kind of traitor are you?
Hey, when I grew up, man, the Astros, the Oilers, not very good. My dad was raised a Cowboys fan, yeah.
Fair enough, okay, I'll allow that. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is, you know, we were not expecting the response we got, and we've gotten literally hundreds of emails, and I am sorry to report that they are pretty much about 99-1 against you, that people are not ready to forgive the Astros just yet. So could be a rough couple weeks if you're an Astros fan.
We'll see how it all shakes out. There's Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Jay, what do you guys have in the hopper for everybody?
World Series is the big deal right now, and obviously NFL. But I will be at games 3, 4, and 5 here in Atlanta. So I will look forward to everyone hanging out and reading from there.
Met somebody the other day from Knoxville, actually the Blount County area. And Jay, they paid for 3 tickets to game 3, $4,600 upper deck.
Ooh. Yeah, that sounds about right. I was looking at, they're going for about $1,000 now for standing room only. So, you know, if you're looking to go and stand and watch a World Series game, just, you know, get yourself a grand together and you can do it.
I'm going to sit on my couch and enjoy a beverage just from the refrigerator. Hey, Jay, thanks so much.
Plan.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports, covering it all. I mean, NASCAR questions, NFL questions, college football, you name it. He can knock them out of the park. And I know the whole city of Atlanta, very excited right now.
As they should be. I was one of our Ice Bears front office staffers is from Atlanta, and so very excited about the Braves, but they were obviously on high alert because they know Atlanta sports, been a fan of them their whole life, and said, yeah, I just know we have a tendency to blow these things.
Hey, the tide is turning, man. You got Trey Young on the Hawks. That's exciting. Got him to the playoffs last year. I mean, there's a lot to...
The Falcons have won 3 straight.
Yeah, hey, there's a lot to be excited about. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, John Wilkerson from Sports Talk is going to join us. We're going to close out the show with the Power Poll today, presented by 865-AXE, where Knoxville goes to throw. Power ranking the SEC teams. I think we know who number one is. What do 2 through 5 look like? We'll answer that question coming up next on Sports 180. Final segment of Sports 180 means Sports Talk is on the horizon. John Wilkerson joins us now. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Hey, it's a great Tuesday. You know, Josh is already Lou Holtz and the Bulls, who are off to an incredible start. Best start since, I think, like, the late 90s, 96, 97. And also,
so 2-2?
Yeah, the first 4-0 start, not ever having, or the first 4-0 start without having Michael Jordan on the roster for the Bulls. Pretty
That's
awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So he's, you know, he's down in the Braves. Oh, shucks, they don't have a shot. You know, he's downplaying the Bulls. So it is what it is.
Is he downplaying the Raiders? Because they're tied for the best record in the AFC. So it's everything's coming up Josh Ward, and he's downplaying all of it.
They can't even give himself that, the satisfaction.
Rangers are off to a good start. Like, he's just going to Lou Holtz all four of his teams.
How are you feeling about your teams right now, John Wilkerson?
Well, Cavs have wins over the Hawks and the Nuggets after looking horrible in their opener, and then just really failing to show for the start of the fourth quarter against Charlotte. So much better than with the last two games than the first two. It's a young team, and I think they'll have the opportunity to make some hay.
Okay.
Now, granted, they're no Bulls, but we shall see.
Yeah, well, neither are the Rockets. So, yeah, I might just have to adopt another team in the NBA, also one that plays on the Eastern Coast, so that I can actually watch the games. Tried to stay up for the Lakers-Grizz on Sunday night. Didn't work so well. Did not work so well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that you really have picked up from Josh since you guys have been working together. I mean, when you start saying, sun's going down, time to think about going to sleep.
Yes, we have.
Not all influences are the best influences.
Yeah, we are getting old, and it is happening quickly. With that being said, let's hit today's Power Poll. All right, John Wilkerson, it is Tuesday. We're going to take a look at some SEC power rankings. There's some 5-2 teams, 6-2, 6-1. Let's see how it all shakes out. Would you lead us off with your SEC power rankings today?
Why, sure. At number 5, I am going to go Texas A&M. They do have 2 losses, but I just think that they've found something, and they've built on what was that impressive win against Alabama. I've got Kentucky still at 4. They had the open date after the loss to Georgia, which is their only loss. Ole Miss, I come in at number 3 on, and then because I really agreed with what Joe Rexroad said with you guys earlier today, may not even be close in terms of who the third team is in the Southeastern Conference. And then I have Alabama 2, Georgia 1.
All right. Solid list there. Joel Silverberg.
I've got the same top 5, just in a different order. I have Kentucky at number 5. I'm really impressed with what they've done from a resume standpoint, the win over Florida. But I also don't know, if I'm putting it in terms of head-to-head matchups, am I taking them over Texas A&M and Ole Miss? I don't think so. So I have the Aggies over number 4. They do have the best win on the list. That win over Alabama was huge. Big special teams plays to knock off the Tide at home. Number 3, Ole Miss. I don't know, like, in terms of the wins, you don't have a ton of weight there, but the offense keeps them in any game. They've been solid with the exception of the loss to Alabama. I have Alabama at number 2. I have Georgia at number 1.
All right, solid list. I'm going to say the winner is John Wilkerson. I had the exact same power poll. Texas A&M coming in at number 5, the Kentucky Wildcats at 4, Ole Miss at 3, Bama 2, Georgia 1. I put Texas A&M in that 5th spot. Yeah, they've got the best win. They also have one of the worst losses. I mean, that Mississippi State, still just inexplicable. I don't know how that happened, but it's football. It's life in the SEC. That's our power poll today, presented by 865 Axe, where Knoxville goes to throw. You can find out more information and book your reservation at 865axe.com. What's coming up? I hear sneakers squeaking and balls dribbling in the background, John.
That's right. We are actually going to be doing our show today from Pratt Pavilion because it was Tennessee Media Day today. So we got to catch up with a number of the volunteers. We'll bring you comments from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes and, of course, get to just hang out here while we see the orange and white work out as they play their first game, an exhibition, on Saturday at 1. So really excited to be here on campus for today's edition of Sports Talk, which we look forward to being joined by, I mean, Vince Ferrara is pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes, but we'll get Vince's views in hour number 2 of the the show. We'll have John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. He'll be along at 5:35. We'll catch up with former Tennessee assistant Don Mahoney. He'll join us at 5:05. We'll get a practice report from Eric Kane and, of course, again, talk a lot of hoops and perhaps even some Tennessee baseball. All that and more today on Sports Talk.
Very exciting. Also saw, we talked about it earlier, John Fulkerson getting the first team All-SEC nod from the SEC coaches. So good honors for him. And can't wait to hear all the different interviews you guys are going to bring us from Media Day.
Sure to appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, even though Josh will be back.
That's right. Josh Ward will be back. Thanks so much, John Wilkerson. Look forward to hearing from those guys coming up in just a few minutes. Again, like I said, Josh is going to be back in the host chair tomorrow. We're coming live from Ted Russell Ford on Parkside Drive. Joel Silverberg, thanks for sitting in. It was a fast and a fun Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back with more action. Stay tuned for Sports Talk coming up next on The Sports Animal.